it's not really that complicated an issue. We're talking about making it harder for felons, fugitives, and domestic abusers to obtain guns.
Hi, I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations with policy experts, elected officials, and business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable healthcare.
In this episode, Jim Doyle hosted a media training on best practices when speaking to the media about gun safety and strengthening background checks. He also discussed how small businesses can help advocate for stronger gun safety legislation in their communities and best practices for writing an op-ed or letter to the editor. We hope you enjoy the training.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and we appreciate you joining us today for an advocacy training on speaking to the media, members of Congress, and your neighbors about gun safety and the importance of strengthening background check laws. Today, we'll be discussing how best to frame the issue of gun safety, the most effective steps we can take to legislatively. And then we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about how to work with reporters. Many of these points that we'll be making are good for anyone talking to a reporter, but some are very specifically geared towards what you as a business leader should be saying. So Business Forward has been working with local business leaders for about 12 years. About 250,000 business leaders have participated to date. We've helped tens of thousands of them speak with media, and it's one of the best things you can do as a business owner. If you care about an issue, but you've got a business to run, and you're looking to have an impact that's meaningful and efficient, one of the best ways to do that is to talk to a reporter, and these are rules that you can follow to help you. And again, if you have any questions about it, or if you're looking for an introduction to a reporter in your hometown, just email us at info@businessfwd.org, and we'd love to help. So this is, we're going to be talking about gun safety and background checks, but we'll also have some examples from other issues as we go. First, just to get grounded in the issue of gun safety and on background checks, here are the key points that you need to know before you go talk to a reporter or schedule a meeting with one of your elected officials. The first is, in the briefings we've done on this, we hear again and again that entrepreneurs and small business owners are engaged in this issue because they care about their communities, they're worried about the safety of their employees and their consumers, and they see it as part of their responsibility as a community leader and business owner. The second point to make, and this is something a business leader can be particularly effective at, is to explain that gun violence is expensive. Businesses lose about $1.4 million every day in productivity and revenue. It costs American taxpayers and communities about $280 billion annually. Third point, and this is another business point that we encourage you to make, is that communities that experience gun violence are less likely to attract new business, investment, customers, and talent. This is critical for companies that are trying to build back better after the COVID recession. And one thing to be aware of here is it's really important to have a strong community and a safe one to attract new investments. And once you start losing out on bids for new investments, it gets really hard to catch up. Fourth point is, gun control is a contentious issue. Background checks are not. This is a law that was passed decades ago, and it works. There's just a loophole. And what we're trying to do is close the loophole so that the spirit of the law is achieved. And you're not wading into the deepest parts of the gun safety debate when you talk about background checks. You're talking about something that's pretty much a no-brainer. Another point to make is that background checks are really popular. They enjoy bipartisan support, including nearly 9 out of 10 Republicans and gun owners. So it's important for you as a business leader to really nail the economic cost of gun violence. And what we've done here is we've summarized some findings from Everytown, an amazing partner for us on gun safety. If you have more questions about these numbers, if you want to go deeper, please visit their website and you'll be able to download the complete report. But what you see is there are a range of different types of costs. You got costs borne by the government and paid for by taxpayers. You've got out-of-pocket costs paid for by families and employers. And then you've got the intangible costs, the quality of life costs, and they total up about $280 billion a year. So before you talk to a reporter, what we encourage you to do is take a look at the report and just make sure you're comfortable with the numbers. Again, if you have any questions, just send them to us at info@businessfwd.org. One of the questions you're likely to get is that, you know, laws vary from state to state, and there's conventional wisdom that having tougher gun safety laws doesn't actually work. And the fact is, it does. So if you look at some of the data on this slide, the average cost for overall gun violence in the US is about $860 for every person per year. In states with stronger gun laws, it's about half this amount. And in states with weaker laws, it's double or more. So this is a significant cost to the states. Again, we've got lots of information on our website. There's information in this training manual, but you can find even more by going to Every Town's website. So how do you approach the argument? Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to focus as much on background checks as you can. And the first point is that gun safety may be contentious, but background checks enjoy broad support. Always start with that, and that way you'll avoid being taken off on tangents. Second is to talk about how well they work. They've been around for 27 years. 3.5 million gun purchases have been stopped. Those were gun purchases that would have gone to felons, people accused of domestic abuse, and fugitives. It's not really that complicated an issue. We're talking about making it harder for felons, fugitives, and domestic abusers to obtain guns. So the law's been on the books for 27 years. It works. There's a loophole. We need to close it. The third point to make is to focus on urgency and explain why now. And the fact is that there's a disturbing spike in mass shootings that have caused many of us to reconsider this issue. There are a lot of people who may not have agreed with background checks a few years ago who have decided that they support it now. It's a common sense solution. And we really need to seize the moment and work with these people who've had their minds changed. And now is the time to do it. It's really important to try to simplify this, particularly if you're doing an interview with a reporter that's gonna be quite short. We had Sarah Trumbull from Every Town on for a policy briefing a couple of weeks, and she made a really interesting point that we think you should consider using in interviews. It's imagine there are two TSA lines at the airport, one where people knew they were going to have their bags checked and one where they knew their bags wouldn't be checked, and they could decide which line to get in. How safe would you feel boarding a plane at that airport? Same thing with background checks. If we have a loophole, we know that it's going to encourage people who would otherwise be blocked from buying guns to go there and buy them. So those are sort of that's the policy background on guns. Now is just, you know, what to think of, what to keep in mind when you're working with reporters and when you're talking to elected official. So the first thing is, you know, we've already kind of covered this a bit, but you want to make the business case. There are amazing organizations of mothers advocating for gun safety. There are victims of gun safety groups. There are a lot of people who are speaking as a concerned citizen. And frankly, our view is that you're most effective when you're providing your unique value, or you're bringing something to the table that other people can. And as a small business owner, as an employer, as a manager, you can talk about the cost to your community, both in terms of the immediate cost of gun violence, but the long-term cost of losing jobs and investment. So we really encourage you when you do these interviews or when you talk to elected officials, please keep in mind that you're talking as a business person and you're making the business case. This is a really important point that most people don't think of before they talk to a reporter, and we think it's something you should consider. So when you're talking to a reporter or a member, elected official, you could be playing one of three roles, and it's important for you to understand which role you're playing. Sometimes your job is to raise awareness about a problem that people just aren't taking that seriously. So gun safety is certainly one of those issues, and people do need to take it more seriously. But we're actually really in the second bucket here, which is pushing a specific provision or concept during a legislative process or budget negotiation. So we expect a background check legislation to be introduced and considered soon. So now is the time to be focusing on background checks. Yes, you may want to spend a little bit of time talking about the big picture on gun safety, but ultimately you want to focus on background checks and how closing this loophole is so important. Now, in a few months, we might be at a point where the bill is on the floor and it's about to go to a vote, and it's time to help close a deal to support a tough vote. In that case, what your strategy when you're talking to reporters will be a little different. You want to focus on the fact that an imperfect deal is better than no deal. And you want to just talk about the urgency of the problem and the need to get something done now. That's your best use. So again, three things you could be trying to achieve. Right now, what you should be doing when you're talking to reporters is pushing specific provisions or concepts that are coming from an imminent legislative debate. Rule number three, have a clear opinion. You are a reasonable person who is able to see the merits of both sides of an argument. And when you're talking with your friends, you might do that. When you're talking to a reporter or you're talking to a elected official, you don't really have time to do both sides. On the one hand, on the other, it doesn't really help a member of Congress decide how to vote. Newspapers are unlikely to publish an op-ed that's one half or the other. They want a clear point of view. They want to make sure when you leave the interview or the meeting 5 minutes later that they know where you stood and what you care about. So try to have as clear opinion as possible. Be as specific as you possibly can. Keep it short, keep it simple, and practice rule number four. If you're talking to a live radio reporter, you'll get about two questions in 20 seconds. If you're taping a TV interview from your office, the station will use about 30 seconds of your 15-minute interview. If you're meeting with your senator, you'll get about 5 minutes. So three things to remember. First, reporters can't quote you if your answers are too long. So keep it short, keep it simple. You need to be successful, you need to make your point quickly and make it repeatedly. Don't worry so much about answering the questions as in making your point, and it's okay to be repetitive. And it's also helpful to try to use examples to allow you to repeat your points. And the last thing is, your value as a local business leader is highest when you are localizing a national issue for your neighbors. And you're talking about what it means in your community specifically. So if you live in Detroit, you want to be able to talk about what's going on in Detroit. If you live in Asheville, North Carolina, and you're talking with a reporter, you want to be able to talk about what it means for Asheville, North Carolina. Your neighbors are really curious about how this federal bill could have an impact on their lives. And that's something you really should focus on. Rule number five, speak for your employees, customers, suppliers, and competitors. You're a leader in your industry. You can talk for your sector. You might be a restaurant owner or a manufacturer. You might be in the retail business. There are all sorts of different businesses participating in this training. You want to make sure that you're personalizing this argument on behalf of the people for which you're responsible. And that's a way to just make it more immediate, make it more personal, and more effective. In our training manual, which you can download from the website, you see all sorts of examples of business leaders doing this. There's also just another aspect of this. When you speak as a business owner, you have two ways to do so. One is you can speak and name your company. You can say, Steve Smith, president of ABC Insurance, and he's speaking on behalf of his company. Or you can talk as Steve Smith, who's been in the insurance industry for 30 years, and make the same point. Before you go in, make sure you know whether you want to talk, you want to name your company, or whether you just want to talk about the sector you're in, what kind of business you're in. It's an important distinction, and it's good to sort of figure that out for yourself before you get started. Rule number six is reframe questions about hot button issues. Reporters will often try to drag you from a non-contentious legislation like background checks with questions about extreme examples of confiscation or hot button issues that are designed to throw you off track and get you talking about what you don't want to talk about. And the simple way to respond to those is, I can't speak to that. And then go back to your main points. You do not need to engage with them on the hot button issues related to gun safety or background checks. You just need to make your points. And the best way to sort of move beyond a question that is going to take you off track is, I can't speak to that. Again, we've got examples in the training manual that you can look at, but it's not your job to answer every question they ask. It's your job to make your key points, even if that means refusing to answer a question. It may not be in your nature to say no to anybody, but when you're talking to a reporter and they ask you a question that's going to take you off, your answer is, I can't speak to that. Rule seven, act like you're on the record even when you're not. So we've been doing these trainings for years, and we try to explain to people the difference between on the record and off the record. It's complicated. It also varies from reporter to reporter. And the part of the challenge is also that there are a lot of very inexperienced reporters out there who don't value off the record comments like they should. So our advice to you is, never act like you're off the record. Always expect that everything you're saying could be published, and you'll just be much better off. Don't try to make small talk with the reporter beforehand. Don't try to establish a relationship with the reporter. Your job is to talk to her, make the arguments you want to make, and then move on. So always assume that you're on the record. Rule number eight, pick your battles and let Business Forward help. We want to do everything we can to make you successful in talking to reporters or going to speak to elected officials. You can count on us for background briefings on the issues, further advice on tactics or some of these rules if there's something that's not all that clear to you. If you like help writing a letter to the editor or an op-ed, we can provide that. But ultimately also you can rely on us to make sure that you're making the most of your time. Right now we're doing a training on background checks because there is about to be a really important debate in Congress on these, and we need you out there now. We don't want to waste your time by having you talk about issues that are not in play. Right now, background checks, gun safety will soon be in play. It's time to get ready. It's time to speak out. So again, now is the time. And if you've got any questions, just let us know. So again, if you're listening to the podcast, we encourage you to download this training kit from our website because it's got all sorts of examples and further information. And what we're going to go through now just very quickly are some best practices for op-eds, letter to the editor, and briefing elected officials. Op-eds and letters to the editor are different. Op-eds are longer. Op-eds make an argument about a pressing issue, usually featuring an unusual or compelling voice from the community. They're typically about 600 words. If you have an interesting business or you're someone well-known in your community, you're more likely to get published as an op-ed owner. For example, we worked with one owner of a minor league baseball team in Akron, Ohio, who talked about climate change from the perspective of his baseball team. That's the kind of thing you should be thinking about for an op-ed. And we've gotten the guidance here about how to structure an op-ed and how to pitch it, and we'd be happy to help you with it. Letters to the editor are easier. They typically respond directly to an article or an op-ed that you've just seen in your paper. You can also respond to a recent news event. You want to keep your draft to about 200 words or less. Often what we'll do when we're working with our network is ask you to send us an individual statement. And typically the statements we get are about four sentences long. You are literally halfway to having written a letter to the editor. And we really encourage you to take the time to go to our website, learn more about letters to the editor, and we'll also help you identify a paper in your community that you can send it to. Just some general rules here. Number one is if you're going to call elected officials, you want to call someone that represents you. If you're calling another member of Congress simply because she's a chairman of a committee and you think she needs to hear your voice, you need to understand that her staff will probably toss out the call sheet once they determine you're not in the district or you don't have employees in the district. So you want to make sure when you're calling an elected official's office that you're making the connection to a constituency immediately and strongly. Second, use email, don't send letters. Letters x-rayed and send them around, they'll be delayed. Often when you're sending a letter or trying to send a message, you want to get it in right away. So rely on email. What we also encourage you to do is if you're calling an elected official's office and you make your argument, typically what's going to happen is the staffer is going to simply note the direction which you view this one bill, and your 2 minutes with the assistant will be summarized in three or four words or less. So if you have the time and you want to make a bigger impression, we encourage you to request a meeting with the elected official. You'll get the official will be briefed on you. The official will be briefed on the issue you care about. It's your way of having a bigger impact. And if you want to have a real big impact, you can always offer to give your representative a tour of your office or your factory or your lab. And that's a great way to really make an impression and get them bought in because you can show them the employees that you're concerned about. So we've gone through these rules. We encourage you to take action. If you need any help, please ask us any questions. Just send to us at info@business.wd.org. And Liz, why don't you take it from there?
That's great. Thanks so much, Jim. That's all the time we have for today. For those on today's training or listening to the podcast who'd like to do more, Business Forward can help connect you with a reporter in your local media market and support you as you write an op-ed or an LTE. So please reach out to info@businessfwd.org. Please keep an eye out for more information from us, including an opportunity to sign a business leader statement in support of the bipartisan federal legislation we discussed today. So again, thank you to everyone who joined today's training, and we look forward to working with you again soon.
Thank you everyone for joining us. For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Jim Doyle, produced and engineered by Alexi Lippman and Alex Pastanen. Thanks for listening. See you next time.